Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4, and then 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world knew Him not. He came to His own home, but His own people received Him not. But to all who received Him, who believed in His name, He gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Merry Christmas. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, December the 23rd. It is also Lille Jule Often. How many of you know that term? Lille Jule Often. Nobody. Well, let me tell you about Lille Jule Often. Today is Lille Jule Often. In 1960, my dad was appointed to a church in Brooklyn, New York called Bethelship. Bethelship was a church that was founded in the 1860s by Norwegian sailors, hence the Bethelship. And my father, appointed there in 1960, 100 years after the church was established, was the first non-Norwegian speaking pastor in their history. So it was a bit of a culture shock, but we loved the 6 years that we spent there. We got immersed into Norwegian and Scandinavian culture. And one of the things we learned about Lille Jule Often is that it's a pretty big deal in Norway. It's when they put the Christmas tree up and decorate it. And we have a little bit different tradition in our family. When I was growing up, my birthday's December the 19th. And so what we would do is we would have my birthday dinner. I would open up my birthday presents, and then we would go into the living room and we would decorate the tree that my dad had put up, and that was our that's when Christmas started for us, was right after my birthday. I remember my mother bringing out this box that contained the creche, the nativity set, and she would very carefully set it up on the table, and we kids just were enamored with it. But we were told, look but don't touch. Because we wanted to play with Mary and Joseph and the baby, especially the baby, putting the baby in and out of the manger. We were not allowed to touch. Look, but do not touch. It's very, very special. You may know that the first nativity was established or created by St. Francis of Assisi in a little town in 1223. St. Francis in a little town in Italy, one Christmas, decided to set up a live nativity with Mary and Joseph and the baby, and I don't know how many others, but it was the first nativity, and he preached a Christmas sermon, and it was so effective that he followed it the next year. And other towns saw what was happening, and they said, well, we want to have our own nativity. And so they began setting up nativities, and it gradually spread throughout Europe. And eventually, over time, artisans began to craft the little figures of Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds and set them up in churches so that people could see them in churches. And eventually, of course, it spread to homes. So that's one of the first Christmas decorations we have, is the nativity, the creche. And I think it's wonderful that we have that visual image of the birth of Jesus. Now, we don't know when Jesus was actually born. According to the Bible, the shepherds were out with their fields at night. And they say that wouldn't happen until after the winter months. And so they said it's likely that Jesus was born in March or April when the shepherds were out at night with their flocks. But we celebrate on December the 25th, and you may know how that came about. Constantine was the first Christian emperor of Rome, and in 336, he established December 25th as the birthday of Jesus to celebrate the incarnation. There was a festival, a very popular Roman festival at that time called the Saturnalia, and so... And that was celebrating the vernal equinox, the end of winter, the beginning of spring, that time where the days started getting longer and hopefully warmer. And so the Christian beliefs and traditions were set on top of that Saturnalia, and so it was kind of absorbed into our Christmas celebration. That was in 336 when that was established. And we've carried that on ever since. Now, it's not important to know when Jesus was born, but more important to know why. Why do we celebrate Christmas? You know, it's interesting, I think, to note that we kind of overlaid our Christmas tradition over a pagan holiday of Saturnalia. And it seems ironic that today we have a secular tradition overlaying Christmas, a secular tradition of Santa Claus and flying reindeer and so on. That secular holiday has been overlaid over the Christmas, and yet I'm not demeaning it. I love Christmas. I love watching Santa Claus movies. I love all that wonder, but it doesn't get to the heart of what Christmas really means. And fortunately, I think people do get past that. They get past that overlay of the secular world and get back to the truth of what Christmas really is. But why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus at all? Because in the early days, it was only the resurrection that was important to early Christians. Paul wrote the first documents following the resurrection, and we know them as the New Testament letters. And in those letters, Paul doesn't say anything about the birth of Jesus particularly, not in any detail. The first gospel that was written was the Gospel of Mark. And that was written in approximately 64, 65 A.D. John Mark was an apostle or a disciple of Peter. And it's believed that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, reflects a lot of what Peter, his memories and his influence. It wasn't until 15 or 20 later, we'll get back to Mark. Mark does not have a birth narrative. If you've noticed, we don't read anything from Mark during Christmas. Mark begins with the baptism of Jesus, and there's nothing about his birth. It wasn't until 15, 20 years later that Matthew and Luke wrote their Gospels, and they both included the birth narratives that we're so familiar with today. Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience, and he was particularly intentional about showing how Jesus fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies, including the Old Testament prophecy that a virgin shall give birth, the Old Testament prophecy that Bethlehem would be the place where the Messiah was born. All these messianic prophecies, Matthew wanted to show how Jesus fulfilled all of those. And so he begins at the beginning. A virgin gives birth in Bethlehem, showing how those prophecies were fulfilled. Luke, writing at about the same time, wrote his for a Gentile audience, a non-Jewish audience. But he also shows and goes into the birth narrative. In the beginning of the book of Luke, we find that he's writing to someone named Theophilus. That may have been a mentor, it may have been a patron, may have just been a good friend. But he talks about Theophilus and he says, I wish to give an orderly account of the life of Jesus, an orderly account. He's an historian. He wants to start at the beginning, and he wants to take us through the life of Jesus. And so he begins with the birth. Now, there's a couple of reasons why Matthew and Luke were, and even Mark to a certain extent, were writing Gospels at this time. It's because at this time, the original eyewitnesses, those who had traveled with Jesus, those who had knew Jesus personally, were beginning to die off. And so Luke particularly wanted to talk to the eyewitnesses, those who had been witnesses to Jesus' ministry, and collect their memories. And so it was important at this time for Luke to go back to the very beginning. and show the birth of Jesus. And we have those stories now that we treasure at Christmas time. But there's another reason why the gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, went in and told us the story of the birth of Jesus. And that is because at this time that the church was beginning in its forming years, there was a heresy called the Gnostic heresy. And the Gnostic heresy basically said the world, the material world that we know is evil and sinful and without any redemption possibilities. And so, therefore, Jesus could not have been human. He could not have been material. He could not have been of this world, because he would have then been full of sin. He would have been of an evil nature. And, of course, we know Jesus was not that. So they said, because the material world is sinful and evil, Jesus could not have been human. He was actually an angelic spiritual being who took on the look of a human, but he wasn't really human. He was divine. He was God and only appeared to be human. Well, this was a heresy because it was important, as Paul points out and other writers point out, it was vitally important that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Why? Because only a fully human Jesus could die for our sins, could take upon our sins and die. A divine being couldn't do that. Jesus had to be born a human being, had to be a fully human to take on the sins of the world, to die and be the sacrifice that will fulfill God's plan for salvation. Jesus had to be a fully human Messiah as well as fully divine. And so that's why the birth narratives were so important at that time. They were establishing that Jesus was born of a virgin, of a woman. He was fully human. He was a baby, a vulnerable baby, giving birth, Mary giving birth in a stable. Those pictures we have of the creche, those mental images of the setting of the nativity is so important because it tells us Jesus was born a fully human person. When we look at the creche, we have to realize that it is in the shadow of the cross. The creche and the cross are intrinsically tied together. You cannot have Christmas without the cross. And the cross doesn't have its full meaning unless we understand the creche and the significance of the birth of Jesus as fully human and yet also fully divine. The creche and the cross. So important for us to make that connection. I think John, the Gospel of John, does that. And John does not have a typical birth narrative in his gospel. We heard the beginning of John's gospel. In the beginning, it was the Word. But in the 14th verse, we have that very, very important verse that says, "And God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." There's a theological term for that called incarnation. Incarnation, becoming flesh, becoming like us. St. Augustine said, God became like us so that we could become like him. That's why we need to look at the creche and the nativity as not just the beginning of the story, but intrinsically tied to the entire story of God's salvation. The Messiah is coming. And the Messiah has come to be King of Kings, but first the Messiah has come to suffer and die on the cross. The creche and the cross tied together. So this Christmas, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, born as a fully human being, and we celebrate that birth, but we also look to that birth as a starting point for our faith as well. Because Jesus was born for me. Jesus was born for you. As I like to say, Jesus was God's gift of love to the world. But it's a gift that needs to be opened. It's a gift that needs to be received. And we can look at the creche from a distance and marvel at its beauty, but unless we embrace it, unless we fully embrace that gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ, we will never really experience Christmas. And this is a time for us to do that. This is a time for us, this Christmas, to embrace that gift that God has given us through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, and recognizing that that birth as a human being enables Jesus to finally fulfill his purpose on the cross, to die for our sins, and then to be resurrected in his divine glory. It's a fantastic story. It begins at Christmas time, and it is the story of the creche and the cross. Amen.